You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it's time for another installment of Dr. Simon Says. Dr. Simon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And remind everybody listening that what it is you do.
So I am a cataract and refractive surgeon, ophthalmologist in Napa. And one of the things we do every time we go to the operating room is cataract surgery. So I'm really excited to talk about cataract surgery today and cataracts in general.
Mm-hmm. We learned a little bit about them last time you were here, some basic info. But let's, for benefit of those who weren't listening, first of all, what is a cataract? And then we'll get into who gets them and why and stuff like that.
Sure. So a cataract is the natural change that your lens goes through as you age. And so I always say that everyone's going to get a cataract. It just depends on if you live long enough to see it. And not to use a pun. But we're typically really excited about cataract surgery because it's one of those areas where we can make a huge difference. People oftentimes just accept that as they get older, their vision's going to be not as good. They're going to get a little blurry vision. The glare from headlights and from, you know, reading menus and well-lit rooms maybe is going to be a little bit off. But cataracts will tend to cause those things, glare and blurry vision. And usually within a 10-15 minute surgery, we can fix that.
Mm-hmm. That's quick.
Yep. Yeah. When you say glare, is there a night vision factor on cataracts?
So what happens with lenses, when you're a baby, okay, if you think about the eyeball, it's kind of like a camera, an old school camera. I think we talked a little bit about that last time. You have a lens in the front of the eye, and you have the retina in the back of the eye. The retina is like the film in the camera. So the job of the lens and the cornea is to focus all the light that you're looking at, the images that you're looking at, onto your retina so your brain can process those things. When you're a baby, it's a crystal clear lens most of the time. There are some people that are born with cataracts, but 99.9% of people are born with a crystal clear lens, and that lens stays pretty clear for most of our youth. As we get older, the pollutants in the air, whether it's tobacco smoke, what have you, the UV rays, just from being on this planet, the lens goes through some changes and it becomes less clear. So even a 40-year-old that still has pretty good vision, if I look at their lenses on exam, their lenses aren't going to look as crystal clear as a child. And so those are natural changes that are happening. But as the lens becomes less clear, you have more defects, if you will, in the lens, opacities, and overall clouding of that lens, it's not going to allow the light to focus as clearly as on point. And so you get scatter of light. And so that's one of the first symptoms. You get that glare. So it's like if you have a dirty windshield and you haven't, like me, if you haven't cleaned your windshield on the inside for a long time, you drive into the sunset and that light just scatters and it's really hard to see. But if you clean your windshield, it gets a little bit better at least. Similarly, when you're looking through a lens with the beginning of cataracts, that light will come in, it'll scatter. So it makes for glare symptoms and discomfort and maybe driving at night. And so oftentimes people say, if I say, do you drive a car? Sure. Do you drive at night? No, not really. I don't really need to. Oftentimes the reason they're not driving at night is because they're not comfortable driving at night. And if they're getting to the point where their vision is not good and they're actually, it's unsafe to drive at night because of that glare that actually decreases our ability to see when the headlights are coming toward us, then it makes sense to maybe have a surgery to treat those cataracts and make it so that you can not only drive at night, but also during the day you can see more clearly.
So cataract surgery has been around for a long time, decades, right?
The Egyptians were doing their own version of cataracts
at
one point called couching. It's a kind of interesting historical fact, but nothing like what we're doing today. But the cataract can be anywhere from, again, the consistency of your lens when you're a baby, it's kind of like gel. So your cataract your lens thickens as you get older, and so the cataract can be anything, anywhere from the consistency of a gummy bear to an almond. So it can get really kind of thick. And so if you can imagine, trying to look through an almond would be basically legal blindness at least. And so in that case, It was a no-brainer back in the day to do some maybe pretty risky procedures, 50, 60 years ago, to try to remove that cataract to help you see a little better. Over the years, over the decades, there's been dramatic improvements. At one point, we started actually, in addition to removing the cataract, we started putting an intraocular lens inside the iris, or a lens, so that you can see well without glasses. And that happened somewhere in the 70s, 80s, became pretty commonplace, and is pretty much the standard of care to put a new lens in now when you have your cataract surgery. So many kids are looking around at their grandparents who have worn glasses their whole lives, and one day they show up with no glasses and they can see better than their kids. And that's because, again, we've implanted what's kind of equivalent to a contact lens, if you will, inside the eye during cataract surgery. And that's
the
standard.
And that only takes 10 minutes?
It takes about 10 minutes.
Wow.
So it is the complication rate from cataract surgery is much less than 1%, so 99% success rate. It's one of the most common surgeries done in this country for sure.
Wow.
So this replacement lens that you're putting in, what's it made of, and does it have to be specifically shaped for that individual?
Well, that's a great question, and here's a bit of that history. Back in and I'll answer your question first. We typically use an acrylic type lens because we know it's an inert material. It's flexible. We can place it basically folded up through a very small incision in the eye and unfold it inside the eye during surgery. But back in the old days, if you will, the lenses were made of something called polymethyl methacrylate, which is the same thing that airplane windows, windshields were made of. And the reason that was done, a gentleman in England, a surgeon named Ridley, realized that after these World War II veterans had some really bad eye injuries when they were in the aviation in the cockpit, they weren't really having a reaction to this airplane windshield material the same way they would glass that might get in an eye. And so that sparked some thoughts in this gentleman's mind, and he started grinding lenses to put in the eye made of that airplane window material. And that became the standard for many, many years until we got to the point where we could make such a small incision in the eye to make a cataract, to do a cataract surgery, which is somewhere around 1 to 2 millimeters incision. It's a pretty small incision in the eye. We needed a foldable material. So the airplane window material, we couldn't fold. And so now that's why we use an acrylic lens that is inert as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it look a little bit like a contact lens?
You know, in a way it does. It kind of looks like a thick contact lens, but you wouldn't notice it. I see it when I put a lens in the eye, but for the normal person looking at another person that had cataract surgery, it would be hard to determine.
Yeah. Do you have to stitch it into place inside there, or does it just float in there and stay where it belongs?
Well, there's actually a capsule called the lens capsule that your natural lens is inside. And I think of the lens like an onion. It has all these layers. So when I do a cataract surgery, I actually open up that outer layer of the onion, the one that you usually take and throw away when you're chopping an onion up. And I open up the top of it, kind of like we're taking a pumpkin top off of a pumpkin, and we basically remove all the contents of that lens capsule. So
Taylor's really enjoying this description.
It sounds crazy, but it's pretty. It's an amazing process. We use ultrasonic energy plus water and vacuum to basically clean out that lens capsule, and it becomes crystal clear.
Don't you wish you'd gone into nursing?
I don't understand why the eye makes me so squeamish. You're a total god to me because I cannot even imagine doing this on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, it's what I do every day.
Oh my gosh.
So to answer your question, we put that lens inside that pristine capsule once the capsule is cleared out, and it has little arms that kind of hold it into place.
Mm-hmm. What's the recovery time like for this? Like, do you do two eyes at once, or so are you not able to see?
We typically do one eye at a time. Mm-hmm. There are some centers actually that do simultaneous two eyes at the same time. We typically do one eye at a time. We allow the patient to recover from the one eye before we do the other eye. The recovery period is about a week. So during that week period, we just have the patients take it easy. So no lifting, no bending, no putting pressure on the eye, because the wound, another thing that's really nice about the way the surgery is done now versus years ago we used to put in stitches and stitches to on a big incision in the eyeball. Now we don't even use stitches. The incisions are so small, and they're made so that they are actually self-sealing. But if you put pressure the wrong way on the eye, or you rub the eye, or potentially that can open up that wound. So we have patients take it easy the first week, just put a shield on at bedtime so you're not having a dream about your eye itching and you're not trying to rub your eye, and we just have you not lift too many weights. But people go, walking, biking, do many activities right after the procedure. Usually the next day they're feeling pretty good and they're seeing well. And the trouble is they're seeing so well, we have to kind of hold them back a little bit and say, hey, I know you're feeling good and you're seeing well. It's a pain-free procedure typically, that we have to limit what they're doing for that week.
We're talking about cataracts and surgery for it with Dr. David Simon and our Dr. Simon Says segment for this time around. You mentioned something about sometimes babies being born with cataracts. How does that happen?
So there are these things called congenital cataracts. And again, just some kids are born with cataracts. And when they are identified, and this is an important thing, if you have a baby and you notice that one eye looks a little different than the other eye. And so any child, we call it leukochoria. So if you look at the pupil, and instead of being a nice dark pupil that you would typically see, maybe it's a little bit lighter in color. Maybe it's a white pupil. Maybe when you take pictures of this baby, which everybody takes lots of pictures of their babies, right? The flash looks a little different in one eye than the other.
Oh, and so they do that at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
They take the flash to
see what it looks like. Yeah. So, and that's a test that anyone can really do. Just kind of looking at discriminating about what that pupil is looking like in your kid. And so if one looks a little different than the other, it could really put them at risk of not developing the pathways from their eye to their brain correctly. So it is important to have early identification in that case with our kids. And typically that's an urgent cataract surgery is done. Now, I don't do pediatric eye surgery, so there are specialists that do that.
Aside from that, this congenital situation, is there such thing as early onset? Do you see people who are not senior citizens who need cataract surgery?
For sure. That's a great question. And there are certain families that will have it, cataracts a little earlier, or have vision changes from their cataracts a little earlier. If you grow up near the equator, you have more UV rays, or maybe in Northern California, more UV rays. And so you might see earlier cataracts. And so the average age might be 65, but for sure we've seen patients in their 50s with cataracts that need cataract surgery. We've also seen patients make it to their 90s before they need cataract surgery. I've done cataract surgery on people, in their early 100s, believe it or not. And so, if we're living longer, we want to see better in our later years. And we know that seeing well makes us feel better in general. So we can actually have an impact on depression, on people's, just the way people feel in general, just by clearing up their vision.
That's important. Yeah. So you say it only takes about 10 minutes. You're doing this in your office situation, in your clinic there in your office. It's not a hospitalization. It's not general anesthetic.
So it's not a general anesthetic. We do the surgery in a hospital setting, in an outpatient surgery center. And so it is in an operating room. It's a sterile procedure. We respect that, because even though it's a 99% success rate, there's a less than 1% complication rate, and within that we worry about infection, and so we're very careful to make sure we're in a pristine, sterile environment where we do cataract surgery all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so what does it cost for someone to have this done? Does it get covered by insurance? Is it covered under Medicare?
Yeah, and that's a great question. A lot of people think anything vision is not covered by their medical insurance, but this is a medical condition. So if you have cataracts that are impacting your vision, affecting your activities of daily life, your ability to do what you need to do and what you want to do, it is typically covered by your health insurance.
Very good. Good to know. Any other aspects we didn't touch on about cataracts and surgery?
You know, I think that just the most important thing is to realize that you shouldn't just live with poor vision. And as I mentioned, you know, some other health aspects, depression, sometimes dementia is worsened by cataracts. You shouldn't just live with it. If you're starting to get blurry vision and it's impacting your life, you should get an eye exam. And we will see that as cataracts develop, people need more frequent eyeglass changes. So mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going straight to the operating room. Maybe you have cataracts and you just need to change the lenses in your glasses to help them focus a little bit better through those cataracts. And so many times we see patients for the first time with their cataract diagnosis, they might need their surgery in 5 years, not next week. Mm. But on the other hand, you know, again, we do see patients and pretty quickly do surgery if it's been too long.
And as you've mentioned before, you do those eye exams at your office, of course, and that's maybe a place to start.
For sure.
Like me, I tend to, and Taylor knows how I would complain about my last pair of glasses and how nothing was working and my neck hurt from doing weird things with the bifocals, right?
Sure.
And I had to come to grips with the fact that I didn't have vision coverage under Kaiser anymore, like I had gotten used to for a very long period of time. And I started thinking, where do I go? Who do I call? People can contact you for eye exams, not just for surgeries and things.
For sure. We do routine eye exams. We do routine eye care. We write eyeglass prescriptions every day for patients. But again, we can take care of the surgical cases as well.
And that's at Simon Eyes.
SimonEyesMD.com. And our number is 256-5000. Pretty easy to remember.
Mm-hmm. Dr. David Simon.
And in conclusion, Dr. Simon says,
get those routine exams. Don't sit around with blurry vision.
There you have it.
Perfect.
Thanks for being here again today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.